This is an iHeart podcast.
Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on Hump Day, an email roundup night, even though I haven't gotten to a single email yet. That is going to change very soon. Did you see what Howard Dean said? Howard Dean still maybe with the greatest soundbite of any politician ever when he did that. Do you remember that, Chris? Chris, you got to dig that up so we can play that. We can't ever talk about Howard Dean unless we do that thing. I don't know how he got his voice to that level, but it's very impressive. Chris, do you have it yet? Hurry up. You're on the clock now. It's really America's waiting, Chris. America's waiting for you. I'm not saying anything till it's ready, Chris. I refuse. I'm now standing in protest.
Washington and Michigan, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
It doesn't matter how many times I hear it. It murders me every time. It ranks right up there.
You know, freedom is not free.
It's not free, Chris. Well, Howard Dean, he says DeSantis is a fascist and he's much scarier than Trump. All right, here's what you can take from that. Absolutely nothing. This is something I predicted the second Trump lost the election. Air fingers, quote, lost the election. This is something I predicted the second he was gone. Remember, the hatred of Trump was because Trump challenged the system. But also a big part of it is they're always ramping up. Everything is ramping up. Everything's the end of the world, the end of democracy, the end of the planet, the end of this, the end of that. Everything's the end. Trump's a Nazi, white supremacist. It doesn't matter who the next guy is going to be. They're going to pretend as if he's the Antichrist. This is how communists operate. Now, that wouldn't be a big deal, except a lot of their followers buy into this stuff. Why have there been so many acts of communist violence against people on the right over the last 4 or 5 years? We talk about this a lot. Why? Why is that happening? Because they ramp up this rhetoric all the time on the top. Senators, media people, actors, athletes, all these people. It's the end of the world. He's Hitler. They ramp this up. Well, remember who makes up the Democrat base, the communist base here in the United States of America. It's a bunch of deranged people, most of them who live in a world of make-believe. I mean, the Black Lives Matter groups. Okay, these are vile, racist, bitter, almost always really, really, really stupid people who believe they're somehow in a horrible racist society that holds them down and white people are evil. And if you tell a deranged lunatic like that enough that this guy's the enemy and this guy's the enemy and this guy's the enemy, eventually they're going to operate. They're going to act on that. If you tell the climate change nutters, another great example. I mean, this is probably the greatest example. These people, they're deranged lunatics. They believe that your breath is ending the world. The car you drive is ending the world. Oil's ending the world. And they don't want the world to end. And so these people genuinely believe they're saving mankind. They think they're one of these movie heroes saving mankind. And so because they believe they're the good guys and they're constantly told they're fighting against people who are trying to end the world, they're capable of the most horrible cruelty. Did you see this video? I'll play you the audio of it. Some guy driving a truck trying to get to work and these climate change losers block traffic so we can't get there. Listen to how desperate this guy is.
No, I'm about to get locked up for 54 years of my parole. If I don't make my job. And y'all are so inconsiderate. Yo,
we're live streaming right now.
One lane. I'm asking one lane before I go to prison, bro. One lane before I go to prison.
For President Biden to declare a climate
emergency. Come on, Fred. Hey, hey. Come to the line. Go to jail for what you do.
You hear the desperation in his voice? One lane. He's begging to get to his job so he doesn't get thrown in prison. Doesn't faze them at all. This is constant. DeSantis is a fascist worse than Trump. Whoever the Republican nominee ends up being, even if it's Trump, they'll say this Trump is worse than the last Trump. They will. He's even worse this time. If it's DeSantis, it's even worse. This is worse than Hitler. You know how Trump was Hitler? This is Hitler on steroids. And that wouldn't be a problem, except your entire base is made up of deranged lunatics who act on these things. That's why they're constantly hurting, shooting, murdering people on the right. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. All right, before we get to the Biden administration stuff, suing Arizona, it's email roundup time, Chris. I told you I was getting to it. I know we're a little more than an hour into the show. No big deal. Jesse, question for you. When you came across the Kodiak Bears, did you have the same fear as you did in combat? Like, OMG, I'm not going to survive this. He's talking about, I remember I was in Alaska last week, and I told the story last night about how the bears were all around us, and it was wild. I forgot to put video up. Remind me, Chris, I'll get video up on the show's Instagram and Twitter page so people can see how close they were and how wild it was. Oh, wow, there's a fire truck right behind us. Chris, is the mic picking that up? That's crazy. Oh, dang it. I wanted to act like I was getting arrested. Anyway, was I scared? No, but that sounds a little egotistical. No, I wasn't scared. I was very hyper aware. I will tell you, more than anything, I wished I had a gun. Now, we couldn't bring guns on this trip. Only the guide had a gun. He had a shotgun. But frankly, I saw the condition of the shotgun, and I wasn't that impressed with his weapons maintenance. All I had was a knife. I did have my little SOG seal pup knife with me. And yes, I did unsheath it and I had it out. And the guide asked, well, what are you going to do with that? And I said, look, I'm taking some blood with me if I go, pal. Somebody's getting stabbed. But more than anything, I was hyper aware and I had my sons there behind me. And so, again, I don't know how to get this across so it doesn't sound egotistical. No, I wasn't scared. I was planning. Okay, what if she comes? What do I do with the boys? What do I tell my sons to do? What do I do? You know, what do you do in that situation? I'll be frank. My plan was to go at the bear and push the sons away. Because that's really all you care about, right? What other choice do you have? What are we all going to take off running? Shoot, I'm the slowest anyway. I might as well turn and get some blood. That would have been my plan. Push the boys away. Boys, run, and I'll go at them. Now, I should also say this, and I know this is especially going to make the mothers cringe. I think it's important as a guy, as a man, it is important to taste danger now and then. It is important. I think it helps you grow. Look, here's a little side story for you. My sons are 11 and 13. We've raised them on purpose to be very, very independent boys. They're very responsible, very independent. They handle weapons well. They make their own meals. If they want, they pack their own lunches for school. If you tell my kids to go make scrambled eggs, to go turn on the pot, get out the butter and eggs, go make themselves eggs. They're just very independent boys. But still, my sons at 11 and 13 have always slept with a little light on somewhere in their room. Just not. I know that's not uncommon. Maybe your kids still do too. They've always slept with a little light on their room. We went to Alaska last week. We're staying in a cabin. I was sleeping in the same room with my boys. We had a couple queen beds in there. They were in the one beside me, and I was right there with it. Well, I'm not sleeping with any daggone light on. So we're in the cabin. We're in the wilderness. Cabin's all dark. We sleep up there for a week. Last night, put the boys to bed, messing around the house. I go up to check on the boys to see if they're screwing off. For the first time in their entire lives, their room totally blacked out. No more nightlight. Now, that's a small story, right? That's a small story. Look, they didn't climb a mountain, but when a man tastes hardship and boredom and danger and things like that, that's how he grows. I pulled my sons aside when I was up there because we had one of our days. It was a total dud. None of the fish were there. And that was the day where the rain and wind came in. They had to pull us out early. We had to walk out into the bay. And it was a wild day, a dangerous day. And I told him, do you think you become a better man with hardship or comfort? When you have a day we allow you to sit around the house and eat pizza and watch TV, do you end that day a better man than you started? No, of course you don't. You need hardship. You need some danger for that. All right, I'm going to continue with the email roundup. We'll tell you what the Biden administration is doing, golly, with the border and more. Let's also talk about, look, I just brought up sleep and nightlights and not nightlights. I know in times like this, a good night's sleep can be very, very difficult to come by. I'm aware of that. I am. There's plenty to stress about. I know you're looking at your bank account. I know you're looking at the state of affairs. And you don't have to look hard to find something to keep you up. Have you gotten yourself a MyPillow yet? They're having a flash sale right now. It really, to be honest, I look at it as a way to honor what Mike Lindell has sacrificed for this country. How much of his business he sacrificed because he won't give up on the election stuff. He won't give up on fighting for freedom. They're having a flash sale. You can get a MyPillow as low as $19.88 right now. Man, get a MyPillow for yourself, for your spouse, your mom. Shoot, when they're having flash sales like this, stock up on them for gifts. This is gift buying time. Buy them, put them in the closet. You got your gift ready. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Jesse, and that's how you get this flash sale. Or you can call. Maybe you're on the road. Call 800-845-0544.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and remember, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Before we get back to the email roundup and stuff, I got to do a little bit of border talk. You email me sometimes, and you'll tell me you don't talk enough about this, and I'm never bothered by that. Because almost always, you're right. There are so many huge problems and huge issues right now. No, we don't talk enough about whatever it is you want me to talk about. There aren't enough hours in the day. You're right. I'm going to tell you, we don't talk enough about the border and what's happening there. You realize we're at 476,000 new people released into America this year. It's July. It should be, by the way, I have a TV show every night on the First TV. I have an extended border interview tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time on the First TV. I go into a lot of this stuff on the border. But wrap your mind around this. ICE, remember, we have Border Patrol. It's their job to protect the border. And then we have ICE. ICE's job is to find whoever's here illegally and deport them. You know, ICE pretty much is not allowed to deport anyone anymore. We have ICE, and they've effectively been dismantled in this country. They've been dismantled. Well, why is that happening? Why are they doing this? Because remember, this is all being done on purpose. DHS Secretary Mayorkas, he flat out said on camera, I think we're doing a bang-up job.
Just a simple question. Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job.
A good job? The border is as open as it's ever been. He thinks they're doing a good job. What's causing this migration? Well, I mean, of course, it's climate change.
The migration that is occurring throughout the hemisphere is reflective of the economic downturn, increase in violence throughout the region, the result of the COVID-19 pandemic, the results of climate change.
Climate change. Yes, Lupe's packing things up in El Salvador because she's worried about climate change. Okay, so you know all that's crap, right? And the new headline, I brought this up. The Biden administration is suing Arizona. Why? Why would they be suing Arizona? Because there's a state law in Arizona requiring voters to simply show proof of citizenship. That's the most basic thing in the world. Hey, prove you're a citizen before you can vote in federal elections. The Biden administration is suing them over it. Why are they doing that? Why are they so open borders? Why are they doing this? Well, don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't be that person. Well, they're compassionate. It's the compassion about the border. They're trying to destroy us. They're trying to remake our culture into something it's not, and it's not supposed to be. They're trying to bring in as much of the third world crime and poverty as they can to break this system in two, so they can then take even more power and remake it into some horrible communist utopia like they want. They're trying to wreck us. When Mayorkas says they're doing a good job, you need to understand, to his credit, he means it.
Just a simple question. Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job.
If you wanted to destroy the United States of America, you are doing a good job. That is what they want. And in his mind, it's working very, very well. Sick people, man. Sick daggone people. I tell you, you know what they're doing, Chris?
We're changing people's lives.
We're changing people's lives. All right, email roundup. Shogun. That's me, Jesse, the Shogun Kelly, in case you're new to the show. Don't shake your head, Chris. And in case you're wondering how I got all the nicknames like Shogun, that's because I decided I wanted to be called that, or the Oracle. I decided on that as well. If you're wondering why some people call me J. Steele the Third, I'm actually not the third at all, but I decided that's a cool thing people have, so I wanted that. What, Chris? Gay Bear? That's an insulting thing somebody said to me once, and now people email me and call me Gay Bear, and it's not very nice, Chris. You don't have to bring that up. Oh, by the way, my middle name is not Steele, but I always thought that was a cool name, so now, well, don't shake your head, Chris. Now that's what I am. Anyway, he says, Shogun, I haven't heard you talk about sandwiches in a while. I know you prefer to have the condiments in a bowl to dip the sandwich in. All right, hold on. It's for the newbies. Don't raise your hands up like that at me, Chris, when I'm bestowing knowledge on everybody. It's all about the proportions. It's all about the ratio. What makes a great sandwich or anything, whatever, a great pasta, a great anything? The ratios. Is it the right amount of this? A pizza. What makes a great pizza? Well, no one can really ever quantify that, because the truth is it takes everything. You need the right kind of crust, the right amount of crust, the right kind of sauce, the right amount of sauce, the right kind of cheese, the right kind of toppings, the right kind. You need the proper proportions. When it comes to sandwiches, we have this wretched, backwards, almost caveman-like tradition in this country where we feel like we have to smother all the condiments on the sandwich. Hey, what are you going to have on your burger? I want mayonnaise and mustard, and I want this and that. Well, I realize for convenience, sometimes it's necessary to put the condiments on the sandwich. Out of pure convenience, a sandwich is a convenience thing. I mean, you eat sandwiches exclusively when you work construction, and you know that's how I grew up. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I dipped all my sandwiches then. I would walk in a sandwich shop, get a sandwich, and eat it. However, let's talk about in a perfect world. Just you and me talking here. You're at the house. You're whipping up a sandwich of some kind. Why are you putting the condiments on the sandwich instead of creating little dipping stations on your plate? Don't shake your head, Chris. You create dipping stations on your plate. Why do you create these dipping stations? Because then it gives you the exact appropriate proportion of sandwich to condiment with each and every bite. Why would I cheat myself and have a dried out bite and then have another bite where I get waterboarded with mayonnaise? I want the proper proportion with each bite. See, you're shaking your head, Chris, and I can already tell you've accepted what I've just told you is wisdom. You just don't want to admit that I'm right. It's weird. What? Oh, you were shuddering because it's mayonnaise. You know what? That's just weird. You don't like mayo. It's weird. All right. More email roundup stuff. An update on how things are going over there with that protest in the Netherlands and teachers' unions suck. Coming up next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, I like Metallica, but why? You always go Master of Puppets. Dude, that's not even in the... No, I know. I understand it's on the list, okay? Maybe the list needs revised. It's not even in the top 10 Metallica songs. It's not even close. Why don't we ever get Wherever I May Roam? The opening of that is so cool. How it... Well, pull it up right now, the opening of it, where he does kind of, it kind of sounds like the, I don't know, the Chinese music or something. Like, I don't know, where it's like, that's really actually what it sounds like. Dude, play it, Chris, play it. Hurry up, everyone's waiting. Yes. Turn it up, Chris. Louder. That's so good. Don't turn it off. I'm jamming out. That's awesome, Chris. That needs to be the opening. I don't know why you're laughing. We need to open up segments like that, and then I'll come in with my haunting voice, Chris. Don't I have a haunting, an ominous voice, really, for the most part? Yeah, it is. Anti-good food Kelly. That's not very nice. I can't believe I'm saying this, but you should listen to your imaginary friend, Chris. Brown gravy fries are the best thing you'll ever put in your mouth. I'm requesting that you try them on the air and let us know what you think. That could be a new segment. Try different foods and the menu whisperer can give us feedback. Says I can say your name. Her name is Christy. One, I like this try new foods thing. Two, let's have a talk about gravy. All right. And then we'll get to the Netherlands and teachers unions and everything else. Let's have a talk, a frank talk about gravy. I want you to do me a favor. As you listen to the sound of my voice right now, I want you to reach out and I want you to grab your beeper. Your pager. Oh, you don't have a beeper? You don't have a pager? Okay. No, that's fine. Set that aside. I want you to, if you're home, do this. If you're driving, I just want you to do this when you get home. I want you to go home and write a paragraph on your typewriter. Oh, you don't have one? You don't have a typewriter? Then why are you still eating brown gravy? They have sausage gravy. They have Cajun gravy. They have jalapeno gravy. You know what nobody has ever said in the history of sausage gravy? When they bit into some sausage gravy, nobody has ever once said, ooh, this would be so much better without the sausage. It's never happened. What, Chris? What do I put on my mashed potatoes? Nothing, because I don't eat liquid filth. If I want to eat potatoes, I'll eat French fries like a daggone American. That's what I eat, Chris. Gosh. You see the Dutch police open fire on the pro-farmer protest? We talked about it yesterday. I'll brief you again. That's such a great way to put that, Chris. I need to use that word. I'm going to brief you. I'm briefing things. All right. I briefed everybody yesterday on this. In case you're not aware, the Dutch government, they have decided they're going to hit the gas pedal on all the climate change insanity. And they're essentially shutting down 30% of their farms and farmers. I know it's madness. They looked at a third of their food supply and said, stop, go away. The Dutch farmers, as you can imagine, are freaking out about this. And they have all these protests. You can see videos of the protests online of they're parking tractors in the roadways. One of them, this was a hilarious protest. Not that I ever would encourage you to do such a thing, but they were dumping manure on government buildings and they were spraying liquid poo on the government buildings. I know it was really gross, but still hilarious. Dutch police have begun to open fire. You remember what happened with the Canadians, with those brave Canadians in the trucker protest when they showed up and they let their voice be heard. And I told you at the beginning of that protest that it was wonderful, that it was something we should support. We should pray for them. We should support them every possible way. But don't think they're going to win. These protests that happen, the Canadian truckers, the Dutch farmers, they're all going to be crushed until they all happen together. You see, you and me and the Dutch and the Canadians and everyone else, we do have the numbers. We do have the power. And we have the numbers by a long shot. It's not even close how much we have the numbers. What we don't have is the joint commitment at the same time to stand up against tyranny. And so what happens, these tyrannical, disgusting powers in America, what we're doing with the January 6th protesters. This counts. Canada, what they did with the truckers. Remember, they're freezing their bank accounts. Netherlands, what they're doing with these guys. What happens is these tyrannical powers, they worry about the gigantic wildfire because they wouldn't be able to contain it. But they haven't encountered that yet. They keep encountering these tiny little brush fires and they just go stamp them out. They're never going to succeed. None of these protests are ever going to succeed until they happen at the same time. Then it will overwhelm the powers that be. You're going to see this a lot more. And I don't say this to be a Debbie Downer, and I don't say it to frustrate you at all. I just want you to understand when they pop up, we're going to see them. We'll discuss them. We'll cheer them on. They're good, right? It's a good thing that you have free people standing up against a corrupt government trying to crush them. This is a good thing. It is a good thing. It's not going to work. In the end, the powers of government, they're going to use their guns and their badges and their military uniforms, and they're going to smash the tiny little brush fires that pop up. This will be a constant state of affairs until it becomes a wildfire they can't control, until it becomes all of us at once. Now, you're probably saying, well, when will that be? I don't know. The thing is, with revolutions, and I believe there is one coming, with revolutions, there's not a timetable. Sometimes these things, they pop up and wham, they're right there all of a sudden and it came out of nowhere. But sometimes they take years. Sometimes it takes decades before that wildfire gets whipped up into something they can't control. Now, that's frustrating for you and that's frustrating for me because we want this stuff fixed now, right? It's not that we want a revolution or a civil war. We don't want anyone to die, but we want this stuff fixed now. We don't want to hear, I mean, who wants to hear, oh yeah, everything sucks. We'll take care of it in 50 years. No one wants to hear that. That sucks. I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. But we do have to accept that that's a reality. That's how it usually works. I mean, look, we just celebrated our own American Revolution, our Declaration of Independence on the 4th. I've got news for you. They didn't wake up in 1776 and say, okay, you know what? That's it. We're done. It was years, decades of abuse by the British government. Neglect and abuse. Decades of it before they finally stepped up and said, okay, enough is enough. Let's take back our own country for ourselves. Decades. I'm not saying that to bring you down. I'm saying that so we all understand what we're taking on and how long it's going to take. Look, we're taking on corporate America too, not just governments. And that's part of what makes this take so much longer. It's the corporate government partnership that we're taking on. That's why we talk about, putting our money where our morals are so much. Because we have to, the corporate America is just as important as the government when it comes to taking on all this tyranny. I mean, we talk about something as simple as cell phone coverage. Have you switched to Pure Talk yet? The patriotic company that doesn't crap on your values? Or are you still funding the movement that's assaulting you? If you're still sending your cell money every month to AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon, you're paying for the movement that's crushing you. You're funding the corporate government partnership. When you switch to Pure Talk, you don't sacrifice service. You're on the same 5G network as one of the big guys. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. You save a fortune. Average family saves over $900 a year. What a time to save a fortune, by the way. Now, it takes less than 10 minutes. Man, keep your phone and phone number. It's cake. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and that'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon. Gotta do what you can just to keep your love
alive. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, don't throw that in. I take that back, Chris. Sorry, pal. That needs to be on the soundboard permanently. I need it. I'm sorry. I need it. It's got to go right there with the fart sound or the BAR. Or, you know what I've been criminally underutilizing? The shotgun sound. That's, look, I need on the board. You know, I'm looking for a new concealed carry permit. Look, concealed carry weapon. And I'll get back to this story on the teachers union and emails in a second, but I get distracted. You know, I carry a Glock 19. Weapons are one of those things where everybody, 10,000 people listening to the sound of my voice right now, they know more about weapons than I do. So the second you bring up whatever you shoot, it's like grilling. You'll have the email will be full of dudes. Oh, that thing's garbage. I love a Glock 19. It ain't sexy, but it's affordable for a quality weapon. Shoots every single time. I like a workhorse weapon that shoots every time. So I carry a Glock 19. If you ever see me, I'm armed. I have a Glock 19 on me at all time. Plus, I'm so big. Remember, I'm 6'8". I like the ability to carry a lot of ammo on me. I like to bank on the fact I'm going to miss. If you're smaller and you carry a single stack, I'm not insulting you at all. That's great. There's so many cool single stacks out there, the M&P Shield and all kinds of others. I'm not dogging on you for it. But I'm at this point where my boys, they've gotten good enough that I think I'm going to give them my Glock 19. They're ready. They're good enough. They're responsible enough. They're ready to rock and roll. Now, I'm in this pickle. And Chris, this is a pickle you'll understand. I want a new concealed carry weapon. I don't want a single stack. Again, I want as much ammo as possible. That's no insult to the single stacks. I'm tempted to go Glock 19 again. I know it really, really well. Put a lot of rounds through it. I've practiced on my Mantis X with it a lot. I mean, I've just spent a lot of time with the Mantis X on this weapon. I know what I'm doing with it. There are all these new sweet weapons out there, though. I don't really want to spend the money, but there are all these really sweet weapons out there. And gosh, I keep going to the gun shop and looking at the Glock 19. And then I'm kind of doing that thing where I start looking at all the others where, or I could have one of those, or maybe, and I know this is embarrassing. I know this is childish. I've considered carrying dual weapons. Oh, Chris, tell me that wouldn't be sweet. And dual weapons right in the small of the back, and then I'll pull out and go, what, both hands like in the movies? I understand it's not accurate, but it looks cool, Chris. Gosh. Anyway, by the way, get your Mantis X in practice. Get your Mantis X in practice. I was already pretty good. I'm certainly no expert. There are a million people listening who are better. I'm pretty good with a Glock 19. You can't imagine how just 10 minutes a weekend has improved. I'm driving tax with this thing now, and I don't have to waste money on ammunition. Remember, the Mantis X lets you practice right inside of your home. Inside of your home. Go to MantisX.com. Practice inside of your home, all right? MantisX.com. It's what the Green Berets use. The Green Berets use it. Military grade. Here, MantisX.com. And Michael and Chris are spoiled freaking rotten because I love Mantis X, and they're good people, and we have a good relationship with them. I love the product, and they're now sending Michael and Chris a couple of free Mantis X. You spoiled daggone brats. Email roundup time. And you know what? I'm going to read even more emails now because I just found out during the break that Michael and Chris are making side bets that I won't get to very many emails. Now I'm going to get to like 50. You guys watch. Jesse, shut up, Chris. I really love the show. I just heard about the immigrants that died in that 18-wheeler in Texas. Talk about mass murder, and Biden did that with a ballpoint pen. What a shame. What a horrible way to die. Look, I talk about this a lot, and I know it sounds harsh and it sounds cold, but the truth is this. We talk a lot about slavery. For a lot of different reasons, that word's been abused, and the subject has been abused for political reasons in the country. But it is good to talk about the horrors of slavery because it's such a part of the history of mankind, not the history of America. The history of mankind is such a history of people being owned by other people and not being viewed as being human, being viewed as cattle, objects, just the horrendous abuses that come with slavery. They're beyond belief. But whenever we discuss slavery, we discuss it as if it's a past tense thing. Oh, can you believe that about slavery or what the slaves went through here or slaves went through there? We have one of the largest slave trades in the world taking place right now on our southern border. It is crazy how much things don't really change. I mean, it was 50 people so far. They cooked to death in the back of a tractor trailer. And those things get hot. You remember my little Marine Corps trip from, we went to Lake Havasu. We were in the Marines at the time, and we were very young Marines. We were all 18, 19. Well, I don't know if it's the same today, but back then you had to be 25, 26 years old to rent a car because young men are too much of a liability. Well, we didn't have a vehicle that could get us clear to Lake Havasu, and we wanted to go to Lake Havasu because it's a big lake with a bunch of pretty girls. So that's where we were heading off to. We couldn't afford a car. We couldn't rent a car because we weren't old enough. We could, however, rent a U-Haul. So a bunch of us rented a U-Haul, and we threw a bunch of water and sleeping bags in the back of it because you only had to be 18 to rent a U-Haul. And we got in this U-Haul, and we drove to Lake Havasu, and we spent so much money on the U-Haul, and we were all dead broke. When we got there, we couldn't afford a hotel room, so we had to sleep in the U-Haul. But either way, it was summertime, and we did have to keep pulling over, even with water and stuff in the back, and let the guys out of the back, and they would come out, and it looked like they had been in a shower. When you get in these gigantic metal containers, it's way hotter inside of the container than it is outside. And we're talking Texas here. We're talking 100 degrees, 95, 100 degrees. These people died in San Antonio. I lived in San Antonio for a while. I was doing construction over there. I bet you it was 120, 130. And I know they're illegal immigrants. And we naturally are going to, I'm not going to say we're sneering at their life, but they're not going to be as sympathetic of figures to us as someone else. As like a victim of that Highland Park shooting, that's naturally going to be a more sympathetic figure to you or to me. We think about people coming into our country illegally. We want them dealt with harshly. And look, I want them dealt with harshly. I think they should be met at the border and turned away at gunpoint. I really do. I think ICE should be a force of 50,000 people rounding up and deporting every illegal immigrant. I think that's what a sane country would do. But I don't want them dying. I don't want them roasting to death. The Biden administration is enabling, frankly, they're causing the greatest slave trade going on in the world today, one of the largest slave trades. These people, remember, the cartels, they traffic them into the country, and then they have to pay back what they owe the cartel for trafficking. Well, they don't have any money, and so they make these people do awful things. Sometimes it's washing dishes, working in the fields, women and kids. Oftentimes it's stuff that's a lot darker. And I know we have a bunch of kids who listen, so I'm not going to go into the details of all of it, but it's really, really ugly. It's a life of horror, and it's crazy to think about the life you have, the life I have. Man, there are people right now, as you listen to the sound of my voice, wherever you are, as you listen to the sound of my voice, there are people living in hell right now, hell on earth. And it's happening right now on our southern border. It's crazy. All right, we have teachers union talk, email roundup, much more fun to be had still on the Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.